We'll give it a title, and the title is Our Present Time, or Our Present Times, or I'd rather say it time more specifically. Our Present Time. When we read in Song of Solomon, and before I go there, I will be addressing the church. I will be addressing the church, and it is part one, so please, you know, keep your seatbelt fastened until we finish the whole topic to understand what we are talking about, or what the Lord is trying to convey to us through His truthful word. When we go to Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "Who is she who looks forth as the morning? Who is she who looks forth as the morning?" What does it mean, who looks forth as the morning? The word or the sentence here or the verse, "who looks forth as the morning," it literally means who is present. Who looks forth as the morning, it means who is present. Verse 10 continues of Solomon, King Solomon's Song of Songs, chapter 6, verse 10. It continues and says, "Fair as the moon, clear as the sun, awesome as an army with banners." So I'll read it again. Song of Solomon 6, verse 10. "Who is she who looks forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, awesome as an army with banners?" In this verse, King Solomon is giving us three characteristics of what the church is all about. Three characteristics. We believe, my beloved, in three churches which is in one. In three churches, which all these three churches are all in one. Just like the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but three in one, and one in three. The first church, it is the church of the human soul. The Lord Jesus says in Matthew 18:20, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst." For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst. That is the first church of the human soul. When two or three get together, I am in the midst of them all. And what is the human made out of? Body, soul, and spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, St. Paul says that we are made out of three: body, soul, and spirit. This is the first church of the human being, made out of body, soul, and spirit, three in one. St. Paul says about us being the church, whose house we are the house of the Lord. Whose house we are, in Hebrews 3:6. And also in 1 Corinthians 3:16, he says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? So this is the first church, the human being, body, soul, and spirit. The second church is the family church. And the family church is made out of three as well: husband, wife, and children. Out of three as well: husband, wife, and children. When we read in Colossians 4:15, again St. Paul addresses this, the family church. Colossians 4:15, he says, "Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and Nymphis and the church that is in his house." And the church that is in his house, the family church, that is made out of three: husband, wife, and the children. So, the first church is the individual church. And from the individual church consists and forms the family church. And from the family church forms the universal church, which you are all presently sitting in it. So the church you go to on Sundays is the universal church. Where did this universal church come from? From the family church. And where did the family church come from? From the individual. So the individual church, the family church, and the universal church are three churches, but the three are all one. So when the Song of Solomon, 6:10, chapter 6, verse 10 says, "Who looks forth as the morning?" He means the ever-present church in our midst, the ever-shining forth in our midst. She looks forth as the morning. Morning is light. The ever-present church in our midst and the ever-shining forth in our midst. The Lord Jesus, prior to his crucifixion, he said the following to his disciples. John 12:35. "A little while longer, the light is with you. A little while longer, the light is with you." John 12:35. "A little while longer, the light is with you." He's saying that the light will not last very long. It is only short-lived, my beloved disciples. When did this light disappear? When Christ was crucified. When Christ was crucified, the entire world entered darkness. Because who is the light of the world? Christ. And when the world crucified Christ, the light is gone. What is left? Darkness. What is darkness? The absence of light. By the way, scientifically speaking, God created the light. Darkness is uncreated. It's not created. That's why when you ask scientists, what can you measure? Can you measure light or darkness? They will say light. You ask them why? Because they'll say simply darkness is non-created, non-existent. Then how did this darkness come about? When the light is absent, which is created, which we are able to measure, when that light is absent, we're left with something that never exists, darkness. Now please pay attention. Darkness never exists. The only thing that exists is light. The only thing that is created by God is light. God never created darkness. Darkness came because the light was absent. I can assure you, the only way that is attacked by the world is the Christian way. There is no other way attacked the way Christianity is attacked. Because Christianity is the only light of the world. And darkness hates light. A little while longer, the light is with you. Now, the Lord says the light is not staying very long. Why? Because the moment Christ was crucified, the world entered darkness. And we have been living in the darkness of the world ever since. We have been living in the darkness of the world ever since the crucifixion of Christ took place. There are three signs that show us we are living in the night or the darkness of this world. Three signs. Number one, Revelation 3:20. The Lord says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me." The Lord Jesus uses the word dine, and dine means dinner. And when is dinner served? At night. I will come and dine with that person and he with me if he opens the door. Dining is dinner time at night. Second sign, the Holy Mass that you attend. See, we celebrate the Holy Mass. We can celebrate it in the morning. We can celebrate it in the afternoon. We can celebrate it at night, in the evening. But regardless what time of the day we celebrate the Holy Mass, we always refer to it as the sacred supper. When the Lord Jesus had that supper with his disciples, we refer to it as the Last Supper. When did he have it? At night. Why? Because it's supper. It's not breakfast. It's not lunch. The Lord celebrated the Holy Mass service at night. It is night. There is no morning. It is all night. Now, when we celebrate the Holy Mass in the morning, we still call it the Last Supper. But we're celebrating the morning. We should say breakfast. No, it's dinner. Darkness. Because the world denied Christ, who is the light. What are they left with? Darkness. And everything we do in this world, we are living in the darkness of this world. Question. Lord, are you going to leave the world dark? The Lord replies and says, no, but I will make you the light of the world. I'm not going to change the darkness of the world, but I'll make you the light to this dark world. Oh. You are the light of the world, the Christians, the baptized soul, the church. You are the light of the world. You will reveal me, I, Jesus Christ, to the whole world. When I came as the light to this dark world. The world denied me and crucified me. So now it remained in darkness. I went up, but I am dwelling in you. And now I'm making you to be the light of this dark world. If anyone comes and asks you, as a Christian, how many Gospels are there? You say to them, four, correct? No, wrong. It's not four, it's five. How many Gospels are there? You say to them, five. Four of them you'll find in the Holy Bible, and the fifth one is me as the Christian. And the fifth one is me as the Christian. Look at St. Paul in 2 Corinthians 3:2. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 2. St. Paul says, you are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. What St. Paul is saying, by all men, he's referring to the world. The world do not read St. Paul's epistles. The world do not read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The world do not care about the Holy Bible. The world do not see the Bible. They see you. You are that epistle being known and read by the world. Are you reflecting Christ to the world? They only see you. How are you going to reflect Christ? If you say to them, St. Paul says this, they'll say, hey, we don't believe in St. Paul, we don't believe in your Lord, we don't believe in your Bible. What are you going to do? The only thing that is left for you to prove that Christ is the living God and dwells in you, through your behavior, through your attitude, the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you dress, the way you behave, the way you live. The world looks at you as a Christian and they will decide if they say Christ is good or not very good. You are the decider for the world to accept Christ or to reject Him. Now, my beloved, come back again. Song of Solomon 6:10, who is she who looks forth as the morning? The word she, he means the church. Who is she that looks forth as the morning? When the sun shines, it does two things. When the sun shines, it does two things. One, it becomes present. Two, it decimates darkness. When the sun shines, it is present now. Secondly, decimates darkness. The church is supposed to be present in the world, not going to sleep, not following the world, not adhering to what the world says, not accepting, not being hypocrite, not being double-faced, not being betrayer of her Messiah. It's supposed to be present. Now the word present means I need to stand my ground. When the sun is present, it says, I'm standing my ground. Hey, I belong in this heaven, in this sky. It can't touch me. And if you're going to touch me, you're going to be burnt. So this is the message to the world. You touch the church, you'll be burnt. And you try to go against the world, you will always remain in darkness. And darkness is eternal death. So when the sun shines, it does two things. One, it is present. Two, it decimates darkness. The church is supposed to be present in this world, standing firm in Christ before the world. And two, to decimate the darkness of this world. What is darkness? Lie. What is a lie? It's a story that is told without foundation. What did we say darkness is? Is nothing, is non-existent. So even though you see darkness, remember this darkness has no existence because it was never created by God. It was never created by God. So it is a lie. A lie is a story with no basis, with no foundation. Darkness is a lie. Therefore, the light is the truth. And who says, I'm the light of the world? Christ. And what did Christ say about himself? I am the truth. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. So when he says, I'm the truth, he's literally saying, I am the light of this world. Because anything outside the light is one big lie, which is darkness, non-existent. The whole world, the Lord says, is darkness. Because it is based on a lie. And what is this lie? The lie is, a person comes and is born into this world. They grow older and they become famous. They work hard. I don't say anything. They work very hard. They strived. They went from one horizon to the other. They did their absolute best to getting where they got to. They became famous, rich, influential, you name it. And at the end, they died. So what was all this about? One big lie. They're dead. Michael Jackson, dead. Whitney Houston, dead. I pray for them. On the other hand, the people who ruled the world, Augustus Caesar, dead. Pharaoh, dead. Kings, Assyrian Empire, Babylonian Empire, Persian and Medes, the Macedonian Greek Empire, the Roman Empire, all dead. Hitler, dead. Everybody's going to die. Therefore, when you chase the world will give you one thing at the end, the grave, which is the lie of all lies. Everything you gained and everything you've achieved, death took it away from you. You went there with nothing, absolutely zero. Then what were you running for and killing yourself to achieve? It was all one big lie. Why? Because the world is in darkness. And who rules the world? Satan. What did the Lord Jesus say about Satan? The father of all lies. And until the Lord calls it the day, the world will always speak lies. They introduce laws. They know that they don't know what they mean. They know that they know that it is a lie. And they chase their tails. They chase their tails. Because when the start is a lie, What are you trying to fix? Stop chasing a lie. You cannot fix a lie with another lie. But that's what the world is doing and has been and will always do until the Lord comes again and puts an end to all of this lie. They are chasing a lie and they are trying to come up with a solution for a lie. So they are coming up with a bigger lie than the previous one. And that's what they're doing. Fixing lies with lies, chasing lies. And eventually, they believe in that lie and they live that lie and they die with a lie in the grave. Gone, never to be seen, never to be heard. And what have they achieved? Absolutely zilch, zero. I invite the world to come back to Christ and let the laws of Christ be instilled in our countries. There is only one light, there is only one way, and there is only one truth. His name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I can guarantee you, I will not blink twice, I will not think twice about it. I can guarantee you, the moment you adhere to Christ's law, everything is truthful, and everything is constructive, everything is beautiful, everything just falls into place so perfectly, so harmoniously, everything. But the world rejected Christ, who is the light of this world. And since they rejected the light, they remained to live in darkness. Now, let's move forward. And this is why, my beloved, the church is supposed to be present in this world and to decimate the darkness of this world. And this is why we read to you a portion of Psalm 24. I'm trying to confuse you more. Actually, that rhymes. A portion of Psalm 24 because I want to confuse you more. My beloveds, Psalm number 22, 23, and 24. 24 is our topic. Psalm 22, 23, and 24 are all one unit. The three Psalms talk about the salvation which Christ our Lord offered to us all in the 3 days. These three Psalms, 22, 23, 24, are talking about the salvation offered by Christ to all of us in 3 days. Psalm 22, Good Friday, day one, Good Friday. Psalm 23, Holy Saturday or Holy Fire, when the Holy Fire comes out of the tomb of the Lord Jesus, the empty tomb of the Lord Jesus. We call it Holy Saturday or the Holy Fire. Day two is Holy Fire, Holy Saturday, which is Psalm 23. And Psalm 24 is Sunday Resurrection. Now, why Psalm 22 is Good Friday? Well, when you read Psalm 22, it says, my God, why have you forsaken me? They pierced my hands and my feet, and for my clothing they cast lots. They pierced my hands and my feet, and for my clothing they cast lots. When did this happen? Good Friday. They pierced the hand of the Lord and his feet, and they cast lots on his clothing. That happened on Good Friday. Psalm 23, Holy Fire, Holy Saturday, second day of salvation. Why Psalm 23 is Saturday? Because Saturday, Shabbat, the Lord's body was taken from the cross and placed in the tomb, and the Lord remained in the tomb the entire Saturday. And Psalm 23 says, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It begins with that. But then it continues and says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Well, the Lord entered the shadow of death on Saturday, where the body was placed in that tomb, the entire Shabbat, the entire Saturday, which is the holy fire. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He went to the pit, but he came back and out of there triumphant. And Psalm 24 is the resurrection. Why is it the resurrection? Because when you read, my beloved, which is not covered in today's topic, when you read in Psalm 24 and verses 7 onwards, from 7 to 10, listen to this. Verses 7 of Psalm 24 says, 7 to 10, "Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift up you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory." Who is the King of glory? The King of all kings, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. "Lift up your heads, O gates," meaning on Sunday resurrection, he opened the gate of heaven to welcome the King of all kings into heaven. So Psalm 24 talks about Sunday resurrection. But Psalm 24 begins with the church. Psalm 24:1 says, "Who is she who looks forth as the morning? She, the bride of the King of all kings, the church. Who is she who looks forth as the morning? Who is she so ever present? Who is she so ever shining forth? She receives the light from her heavenly groom, who is the light of the world. The light of the world dwells in the church, and his light shines forth through his church to this dark world. A little while longer, the light is with you, but after that it will not, because the world crucified the light of the world. Therefore the world will enter darkness. I won't decimate that darkness. I'll make the church, which is the Christian soul, as the light to this world." Now, I ask you this. How many days did it take God to create everything? 6 days? It's obvious, yeah? Very simple. Yeah? Easy. Correct? 6 days. Wrong. God created in 3 days. And in the next 3 days, he filled what he created. So what God created was only 3 days. And then in the next 3 days, he came back and started filling what he created in the first 3 days. Now in day one, God created the light. Sorry, I'll go one thing before that. God created everything in 3 days. And in the other 3 days, he filled everything he created, which is 6 days. And on the seventh day, God rested. Now, when we look at Genesis 1, verse 3. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. It says, "Then God said, let there be light." Let there be light. Genesis 1, 3. Let there be light. Now, Psalm 24:1 says, "Who is she who looks forth as the morning?" Well, light is to do with morning, because morning is in the light. That's why Psalm 24:1 goes hand in hand with Genesis 1:3. God said, "Let there be light." And Psalm 24:1 says, "Who is she who looks forth as the morning?" Morning and light are together. Now, in the first 3 days, God created, day one, the light. Day two, the waters. Day three, the land. And in the second part, in the other 3 days, where he came to fill what he created in the first 3 days, well, day four, day five, day six is called the filling. Now, since day one, God created the light, well, guess what? Day four, God created the sun, the moon, and the stars. The light That's where the sun was created from. The sun has light in it. And where did it get this light from? From the very light that was created in day one. So out of day one, in day four, he filled day one. He filled it with the sun, with the moon, and with the stars. And since day two, he created the waters. Day five, God created from the waters the fish, all the great sea creatures, and every living thing that moves, and the birds of the sky. By the way, the birds of the sky are created out of water. That's why when a bird dies and decays, turns into water, there is no bones, there is no nothing, and there is no dust, because the bird is not created out of the earth, it's created out of water. No remains at all for birds, because they came from the water. So day two is water. That's why he created the fish and all the living creatures in the seas. And he created the birds out of the water. And since day three, God created the land. Well, guess what? In day six, God created the cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth. It only makes sense. Anything that lives on the land, he created in day six. So he filled day three with day six, which is the cattle, the creeping things, and beasts of the earth. Then God finally created the human being, or created Adam. Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness." Oh. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, meaning the earth is the Lord's. In day 1, 2, 3, I created everything, and all its fullness, day 5, 4, 5, 6, is the fullness. So whatever was created and whatever was filled, it is all the Lord's, no one else's. Not Mother Nature, not the empty head, the Big Bang Theory. I was going to say something else, but it's not worth it. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. When we take day one, where God creates the light, and we look at Psalm 24:1, where it says the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, and when we look at Song of Solomon chapter 6 verse 10, where he says, "Who is she who comes forth as the morning?" We will find the following. The first thing God said straight after saying, "Let there be light," in Genesis 1:3. After God says, "Let there be light," in Genesis 1:3, straight after that, he says, "And God divided the light from darkness." So when God creates the light in Genesis 1:3, straight after creating the light, straight after saying, "Let there be light," he goes and says, "And the light divided," and God divided the light from darkness. So when the light appeared, it did not abolish darkness, but what did it do? It divided it from the light. I'll say it again. When the light was created by God, when the light appeared, the light did not abolish darkness, but there was a division between the light and darkness. And God divided the light from darkness, and he called the light day and darkness night. So in God's wisdom, did not abolish darkness, but he just separated the light from darkness. This light is in every baptized soul. This light is in every Christian, true believer and follower of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. This light is in you, my beloveds. You who have been baptized into Christ have put on the Christ. You've put on the light of the world through baptism. So this light dwells in you. You have received the second birth from above. Everyone, every human being is born from earthly biological parents. Everyone. But not everyone is born the second time. Who is born the second time? Who received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and was baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This person is born again, the second birth. Now, this second birth comes from above by God Himself. This second birth is everlasting. But the earthly birth, the biological birth, is temporal. We are born to die. But the birth which Christ gives us through the holy baptism, we die to be born forever. We die to be born forever. But through this second birth, we received the light, who is Christ Jesus. Now this light of Christ is dwelling in us by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. And how do you receive the Holy Spirit? Through the holy baptism, one of the seven sacraments of the true Church of Christ. Unless you're baptized, Holy Spirit cannot dwell in you. And since the Holy Spirit is not dwelling in you, you're still living in the darkness. And what is the darkness? This world. And who rules this world? Satan. Satan will take you to every place that is poisonous, my beloved. My son, where are you going? Where are you going, my son? My daughter, what are you doing with your life? My child, what are you doing? Tell me. Have you been deceived by the world? Have you been deceived by Satan, the snake, the poisonous snake? Have you been deceived? Stop it. And next time you want to say the word fun, you better know how to define it, otherwise don't invoke it. If you do not know what fun truly means, don't ever try to taste it, to live it, to finding out what it means. Don't ever try it, because the stakes are very high. But there is a problem. Even though the light dwells in us, the light of Christ dwells in us through the holy baptism, but darkness is still there. Darkness is still there. Darkness is still there for two reasons. One reason is the world. The other reason is the Christian soul. One reason the darkness is still there because of the world. The other reason is the Christian soul, him and or herself. The reason why darkness is still there, because the world, till this very day, do not wish to accept Jesus Christ as the only way. That's why the world is still living in darkness. And the other reason why this darkness is still in a Christian being, because in me, there is still the old Adam, hasn't died fully. The very old Adam that I was born from. That old Adam, which is the word me, I am, the word me. You've heard the bishop mention this word a lot of times. The word me is the reason for every trouble in my life. If it wasn't for me, I wouldn't have lied. If it wasn't for me, I wouldn't have killed. If it wasn't for me, I wouldn't have been boastful. Self-pride. If it wasn't for me, there wouldn't have been envy, jealousy, bigotry, hatred, division, destruction. All this is proudly sponsored by me. Not only sponsored, but done by me. So the old me is still there. When you read the Holy Bible, you will never see a verse says about me, the old person, about this body. You will never find a verse says, I train my body or I fix my body. What do you find in the Holy Bible when it comes to this flesh, the human flesh, or the flesh, the worldly person, the earthly person, the flesh? What does it say? I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. 1 Corinthians 9:27, St. Paul says. He says, when it comes to the human flesh, when it comes to the earthly human being, I discipline it and I bring it into subjection. Bring it into subjection is exactly like the phrase that goes as the following, bringing to heal. Have you heard this phrase, bringing to heal? Bringing to heal is used like for horses. Bringing to heal means bringing that soul to absolute obedience. So St. Paul talks about the flesh and says, I discipline the flesh and bring it into absolute obedience. Obedience to God, not anyone else. The moment the flesh is loose, the moment the flesh is let out of the cage, oh, the flesh will drag you in the streets of King's Cross. The flesh will drag you to Star City Casino, Las Vegas, men and women, drugs, alcohol, gambling, you name it. That is the deed of the flesh, my beloveds. And why Christians are still being worldly? Because they've allowed the old me to surface up and hid the new me, who is Christ, the light. When I pushed Christ away from me as a Christian, the moment I pushed the light, I ended up in the darkness. I became worldly. 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 Oh, when you receive the Lord, and I say truly, when you truly receive the Lord, when you truly open your heart to the Lord, when you truly give yourself entirely to the Lord. Next time you go to the club, you will hate it. Next time you look at drugs, you will hate them. Next time you look at gambling, you know, and alcoholism, men, women, filth, you will hate all of that. The moment you truly embrace Christ, truly embrace Christ, you will hate every foul language, every foul word. You will hate every evil deed. But you see, when it is done in Christ, you will hate everything that is against Him in truthfulness with love. Not you retaliate and go and chop heads. No. Christ does not order us to kill people. Christ orders us to kill everything that takes you away from Him. But love people, pray for them, but hate the evil deeds of people. God loves the human, hates the sinful deed of that human. God hates sin, but loves the human. You need to differentiate between the two. I need to discipline the flesh and bring it into subjection, absolute obedience to the Word of God. Why? Because I'm a Christian. What does that mean? I no longer belong to the world. What does that mean? I no longer belong to darkness. What does that mean? I no longer belong to the lies of this world. I belong to the light of Christ. I belong to the truth. I belong to eternal life. You cannot find a source of water that gives sweet and sour water. It's either sweet or sour. But the two together, impossible. You cannot have light and darkness embracing one another. It's impossible. It is either light or darkness. It is either day or night. It is either the Lord or Satan. It is either life or death. It is either the truth or the lie. But the two together, you can't. There is a saying in Arabic. Who speaks Arabic here? Show of hands. Arabic. There is a saying in here, and so sadly so, it is also mentioned by some Christian people. But the saying is totally wrong. What the saying says in Arabic, سَعَلْ رَبَّكْ وَسَعَلْ قَلْبَكْ سَعَلْ رَبَّكْ وَسَعَلْ قَلْبَكْ 1 hour for your Lord and 1 hour for your heart. Meaning, 1 hour in the church and 1 hour in the club. 1 hour praising and 1 hour swearing. 1 hour telling the truth and 1 hour lying. 1 hour... Red belt in a karate. Anna Khushab. Red belt in a karate. Now the other one you just went over your heads because I said it in the typical Iraqi accent. Anna Khushab. You can't have 1 hour in the church and the next in the club. You can't be the son of the light, the next the son of darkness. You cannot. Please, it's either the Lord fully or the Lord won't accept 50-50. The Lord is not bargaining here. We're not buying and selling. This is to do with your salvation. We cannot take this matter lightly. Don't say, I'll go and have fun and tomorrow I'll repent. There is no guarantee tomorrow you will reach. So many people slept, never woke up. If you hear my voice, the Lord says, do not harden your hearts. Get up now and open the door. Don't leave it to tomorrow because you cannot guarantee tomorrow that will ever come. Do it while you can. Do it while you can. I bring it into subjection, my flesh, into disciplinary action, into obedience. Now, this is the divider between light and darkness, obedience. Obedience is what decides if you're in the light or in the darkness. When you obey God, you're in the light. When you disobey God, you're in darkness. So the decisive moment between light and darkness is the word obedience. The Lord Jesus, as the human side of him, not the Son of God, the Son of Man, as the human, he says, I did not come but to do the will of my Father. I was always obedient to my Father. That's why the human side of Christ always walked in the light. That's why the body of Christ never dies, because he was obedient to God always. My son, my daughter, I beg you, whatever leads you to darkness, run away from it. And whatever leads you to the light of Christ, run to it. Whatever leads you to darkness, run away from it. And whatever leads you to the light of Christ, run to it. Don't ever run away from it. Run to it, my beloved. Run to the light of Christ and gain it. Take it for yourself. Gain it. You know why? Because when you gain the light of Christ, you will be enlightened. And when you are enlightened, you will enlighten other people that Christ brings your way. It's a chain reaction. When you gain the light of Christ, you are enlightened. When you're enlightened, you enlighten other people in your life. But let me tell you this. If you are ever trying to remove the darkness from your house, I'll say to you now, it is impossible. If you try to remove darkness from your house, if you try to remove darkness from this house that you dwell in, the flesh, if you try to remove darkness from your life, if you try to remove all the ugly things, all the bad things in your life, if you're trying very hard to remove them, I'm telling you, it's not hard, it is impossible. A person comes and says, Father, I'm trying to come to church, but I'm not ready. When I'm ready, then I'll come. He will never come. Or she will never come. Because you, on your own, can never be ready. You cannot do it. When you say, I've got a problem, Father, the moment I solve it, then I'll come to church. You will never be able to come to church because you'll never be able to solve it. Because when you solve this one, there is 100 million others waiting for you. It's a never-ending story. When you say, I want to fix myself because I feel filthy, I feel sinful, I'm this and I'm that, I gamble, I take drugs, I watch pornography, I do this, I do that, I can't come to church, let me clean myself, then I'll come. Goodbye. I'll never see you. I'll never see you in church because you won't be able to clean yourself. Because the day you try to remove darkness out of your house, out of your life, you will never be able to do that. Imagine going into this house and it's all dark. Do you say, guys, can you remove the darkness from this house, please? They laugh. What do you do to remove darkness? Turn on the light. Isn't it? The first thing you look for is the switch. The moment you enter a dark room or a dark place, where is the switch? Flick the switch on, light comes on, darkness is no longer. So simple. So effortless. So logical. It hits home. Turn on the light, darkness disappears automatically. Follow Christ, darkness will disappear naturally. Stop fighting darkness, focus on Christ. My beloved, I'll leave you with this. When our intellects are enlightened by the thought of Christ. When is our intellect enlightened by the thought of Christ? When we hear His word, when we read His word. If you haven't read the Holy Bible as yet, I encourage you tonight, you start reading. Whether you understand it or not, totally beside the point, just read it for the Lord's sake. If you've never read the Holy Bible, start from the New Testament, Matthew, the Gospel according to St. Matthew. Start from there and read it chronologically, in order, in sequence. Read the New Testament first and then go to the Old Testament. Don't worry about understanding. Don't worry about anything. Just read the word of the Lord for the Lord's sake. When you start reading His word, you are receiving the thought of Christ in your intellect. What was in your intellect prior to receiving the word of Christ? The world. The world's ideologies. The world's ideas. The lies and the fabrications and the deception and the corruption. Oh, it's a filthy thing. Stinking thing. Stop listening to this evil, sick world. Purify your intellect by allowing the word of Christ entering this in order for Christ's thought is instilled in your intellect. When our intellects are enlightened by the thought of Christ and our hearts Very vital. And our hearts are enlightened by the light of Christ. In the Song of Solomon, there is a verse which the bride is talking to the daughters of Jerusalem. She says about the heavenly groom, about Christ, she says, "This is my friend, this is my beloved, O daughters of Jerusalem." She says, "This is my friend, and this is my beloved." She refers to Christ, her heavenly groom, as the friend and as the love of her life, O daughters of Jerusalem. My beloved children, when it comes to friendship, we choose our friends with our heads, intellect. But when it comes to marriage, when it comes to relationships in marriage, we choose our partners with our hearts, not our intellects. Why do we choose our friends with our heads? Because you cannot befriend someone that does not share the same thoughts you do. Simple. If I'm talking east and my friend is talking west, we can't be friends. Two different mentalities. So I choose my friend with my head because my friend can only be my friend when they are similar with the way I think. But when it comes to the love of my life, I don't use my head. I put it on a side. I park it. I put it to sleep. And I use my heart. Because out of the heart comes love. Love. And it's all capital letters. L-O-V-E. You see, when our intellects are enlightened by the thought of Christ, Christ becomes our friend. And when our hearts are enlightened by the light of Christ, Christ becomes our love. And when Christ is your love and your holy companion friend, darkness is gone forever. Darkness is gone forever. Learn how to love Christ. But you see the thing, you cannot love him until you first befriend him. Get to know him, be friend with him, in order to end up loving him. The rest is history. No more darkness. And whatever happens in the world, I'm at peace. There is peace inside of me. I'm not agitated. I'm not confused. I'm not lost. I'm not watching all these millions of videos to see what is going on. What is this hate speech all about? What is going on, government? Let the world bury their dead, and you chase Christ. Leave the world busy with their own affairs. Let me tell the world this. World, hear this. Whether you like it or not, there is one true, living, divine God who art in heaven. His name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Whether you agree with this, whether you accept this, whether you acknowledge this, whether you believe in this, totally beside the point, the truth will always be the truth. This God, Jesus Christ, is always, not sometimes, is always in control, will always be the sovereign divine God forever. And he is the only one who appoints kings, presidents and prime ministers in the world. It is Jesus who puts them, and it is the Lord Jesus who takes them, not any other evil power. Period. It is the Lord. And since the Lord is God, guess what? You can't do anything without Him knowing of it. And you can't get away with it. Because nothing escapes the wrath of the Almighty God. You do evil, you live evil, you love evil, you chase evil, the wrath of God will come upon you and you won't know what hit you. So go for it. But my beloveds, when you focus on Christ, since He is the light, why are you concerned of something non-existent called the darkness? Doesn't make sense. Don't focus on something that is non-existent. So the world and what the world does is non-existent. At the end, the prime minister will die, the president will die, the king will die, everybody will die. What have you gained? What a big lie. That's what the Holy Bible calls it, foolishness. Foolishness. When our intellects are enlightened by the thought of Christ and our hearts are enlightened by the light of Christ, our faces will be enlightened before the whole world. And we shall continue this topic next Friday, God willing. Our faces will be enlightened before the whole world. You know, those who despised the Lord Jesus, those who went against Him, those who tried to judge Him, they all said, "We don't find anything wrong in this man." Why? Because his face was shining by the light of his Daddy who art in heaven. And when God is with you, who can be against you? And even if they go against you, they'll be put to shame. Because God is the sovereign authority. They are not going against me, a mere piece of dust. They're going against God who dwells in this piece of dust. Let me see who wins. You see that picture of Pope Cyril VI on the altar, on this side, at the top. Maybe it's not very clear from afar, I'm not sure. Anyway, Pope Cyril VI, he was a monk and he was a priest at the time. Father Mina. His name was Father Mina, and then it changed to Cyril when he became the Pope, the Patriarch, of our beloved the Coptic Church. So when he was still Father Mina, he was a monk, he found this old old windmill that was in ruin. It was one of those heritage listed kind of an windmill. It was very old and fallen apart. No roof, barely standing. Anyway, the Lord Jesus said to him, "I want you to live in this windmill as it is." So the Pope Cyril, obedience. Obedience, the key word, decides the decider between light and darkness. He was obedient to the Lord Jesus. So the Lord says, and it was, by the way, that old windmill in his time, in the 50s, it was in the middle of the desert, in the middle of nowhere. There was a lot of robbers and there was a lot of vicious animals like wolves, lions, snakes, scorpions, poisonous animals, you know, reptiles. He went and lived in this windmill for 6 years. So anyway, one day, this British guy, this is a true story. It's a true story. He passed away in 1971, not very long ago. So this British guy came from England, and we have some beautiful people from England here with us. God bless you all, and bless the people of Great Britain. So, and touch the heart of the government of Great Britain. I had to say that, because what they're doing is not very good. Wake up to yourself. I'll buy you a fish burger if you wake up to yourself. So anyway, so this British guy came, he was writing a book, and part of that book was to do with monastic life. He needed to know a bit of a background and history of monasticism. So he came all the way to Egypt, and the Lord guided him to Pope Cyril, who was Father Mina. So he came to Father, he met a government official in Egypt, and that government official brought him to the desert, and he met Father Mina. That government official, Egyptian government official, said to Father Mina, "I have a British citizen. He wants to know about the monastic life and the history behind it." So Father Mina sat and explained this rich history. And then that British man was so pleased and so humbled by the humility and the love and the calmness of Pope Cyril. He said to the Egyptian, that government official, he said, "Please thank him from the bottom of my heart. I'm so grateful. He has helped me immensely in my project." So that Egyptian guy from the government was very proud. And that guy was a Muslim, not a Christian. He was so proud of an Egyptian Coptic monk. He said to Father Mina, he said, "You made us as Egyptians so proud. Whatever you need from me, if I can do it, I will do it without hesitation." So one day, Father Mina, when the Lord came to him and said, "I want you to live in this windmill," he said, "How am I going to live? It's a heritage listing, meaning it belongs to the government. He can't just go and live in it. He'll be breaking the law." He remembered that official guy which he gave him his card. He gave him his card. Father Mina looked for that card. He found it. He calls him. He says, "Yes, I'm still here. I'm still in that position." He said, "Please, I want to come. I need a favor from you." He said, "Anytime." He went to see him in person. He said, "I really want to live in this windmill, but it belongs to the government. How can you help me? I want to live in it." He said, "Is that all? Anything for you, Father? Anything. I'll never forget what you've done for us." He signed a lease with Father Mina for 100 years to be leased to him for $1 a year, for 100 years, a dollar a year. Father Mina, he was so grateful. He said, "Thank you so much, but look how the Lord puts things in place when you are obedient to him." He went and dwelt and lived in that windmill. Couple of years later, that person in that government body was transferred elsewhere. Another person replaced him. Now, when that person realized there is somebody living in that heritage-listed windmill, he said, "It is impossible." So he goes to Father Mina, to that windmill, and he said, "Immediately, right now, you vacate the premises. This is not yours. You are in breach of the law." He said, "I have a lease for 100 years. He said, "That lease is gone because that person is no longer there. Since he's no longer there, then it is a new lease, and it is my way, and my way is get out of this windmill now." Father Mina, in his humility and love for the Lord, he said, "Listen, you have an earthly government. I have the heavenly government. And let's see who wins. I pray the Lord brings leaders like Pope Cyril, not weak leaders, not weak. Where is your faith in the Lord? Why are you so weak? Why are you so sleepy? Why are you so begging? You beg the Lord, no one else. Leaders, you beg the Lord. It's a shame. It's a shame for Christians to be so weak. Yet your Lord is God. Your Savior is God. Your Redeemer is God. Shame to be so weak. As if you are hopeless, useless infants. Have you forgotten who purchased you with his own precious blood? Have you?" Pope Cyril, that's why I love the man. I don't care what people say. I love him. He said, you have an earthly government. I have my government in heaven. And let's see who wins. He says, how dare you challenge me? I'll teach you a lesson. He said, go for it. The heavenly government decided to deal with that earthly person in a way that wouldn't cross your mind. That guy went to sleep that night. Do you know who came to his sleep? No, not to his sleep, to his wife's dream, Pope Cyril. Look what heaven did. Heaven is too powerful for earth. So it's going to treat earth like a little baby. I'm going to teach you a lesson, husband, through your president wife. She's the boss, you're not. So Pope Cyril goes in a dream to his wife. And he says to her, listen, you better tell your husband to leave me alone or else. The wife wakes up, startled, afraid of the presence of Pope Cyril because he was all light. You know, because his intellect was enlightened by the thought of Christ and his heart was enlightened by the light of Christ. He befriended the Lord. He adored and loved the Lord. His face shined forth. Who is she who shines forth as the morning? It's the church. It's Pope Cyril. The church of Christ. Pope Cyril. So he came shining, all illuminating to this woman. She was frightened of his presence. She woke up and woke her husband immediately. She said, you better tell me, what have you done yesterday? What's wrong, woman? She said, this man came to my dream. I'm afraid. Leave him alone. This man is holy. He is a man of God. Leave him alone. When she described the way he looked, the man started shaking. He said, how did you know? I spoke to him yesterday. She said, you get up now and take me to him. That morning, they get up and they walk to the windmill. When they opens the door, the husband and the wife standing in the front of that door, and Pope Cyril looks at him and says, what do you want? Pope Cyril had a very deep voice. Habibi, what do you want? What do you want? He said, Father, I am sorry. I am sorry. You can stay here as long as you want. You can stay here as long as you want. My wife told me to leave you alone. I'm going to ask heaven to go to all these leaders' wives and teach their husbands who think they are leaders, just like the one who smacked him in that plane, that French president. So I pray heaven goes to every wife to teach their husbands a lesson to leave the church alone. Freedom of speech and freedom of religion is a God-given gift. No one on earth has the right to do or say otherwise. No one. So don't play with fire, because fire burns. Heaven will answer you, not me. Heaven will answer you, not me. The one who protects America is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, not anyone else. And the one who will protect Australia is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, not anyone else. And the one who protects the whole world is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, not anyone else. So get it through your heads and stop acting like fools. Let the light of Christ shine through you forth to this dark world. Amen. God bless you.